Chapter 31, page 376. Second excellent word of Christ upon the cross, Behold thy mother. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. John 19:27. In this second memorable and instructive word of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, he has left us an excellent pattern for the discharge of our relative duties. It may be well said, the gospel makes the best husbands and wives, the best parents and children, the best masters and servants. It furnishes the most excellent precepts and proposes the best patterns. Here we have the pattern of Jesus Christ presented to all children for their imitation, teaching them how to acquit themselves toward their parents according to the laws of nature and grace. Christ was not only subject and obedient to his parents while he lived, but manifested his tender care even while he hung in the torments of death upon the cross. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. These words contain an affectionate recommendation of his distressed mother to the care of a dear disciple, a bosom friend. The design and end was to manifest his tender respect and care for his mother, who was now in a most distressed, comfortless state. For now was Simeon's prophecy, Luke 2:35, fulfilled in the trouble and anguish that filled her soul. Her soul was pierced for him, both as she was his mother, and as she was a mystical member of him, her head, her Lord. And therefore he commends her to John, the beloved disciple, saying, Behold thy mother. That is, let her be to thee as thine own mother. Let thy love to me be now manifested in thy tender care for her. The manner of his recommending her was very affectionate and moving. Behold thy mother. As if he had said, I am now dying, leaving all human society and relations, and entering into a new state, where neither the duties of natural relations are exercised, nor their comforts enjoyed. It is a state of dominion over angels and men, not of subjection and obedience. This I now leave to thee. Upon thee do I devolve both the honor and duty of being in my stead and room to her, as to all dear and tender care over her. It was also a mutual recommendation. To his mother he said, Woman, behold thy son. Not mother, but woman, intimating not only the change of state and conditions with him, but also the request he was making for her to the disciple with whom she was to live, as a mother with a son. The time when his care for his mother so eminently manifested itself was when his departure was at hand, and he could no longer be a comfort to her by his bodily presence. Yea, his love and care manifested themselves when he was full of anguish both in his soul and body. Hence, Christ's tender care of his mother, even in the time of his greatest distress, is an excellent pattern for children to the end of the world. There are three great foundations or bonds of relation on which all family government depends, those of husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and servants. The Lord has planted in the souls of men affection suitable to these relations, and to his people he has given grace to regulate those affections, appointed duties to exercise those graces, and seasons to discharge those duties. So that, as in the motion of a wheel, every spoke takes its turn and bears its stress, in like manner, in the whole round of a Christian's conversation, every affection, grace, and duty, at one season or another, comes to be exercised. But yet grace has not so far prevailed in the sanctification of any man's affections that there will be no excesses or defects in their exercise towards our relation. Yea, in this eminent saints have been eminently defective. But the pattern set before us here is a perfect pattern. As the church finds him the best of husbands, so to his parents he was the best of sons. And being the best and most perfect, he is therefore the rule and measure of all others. Christ knew how the corruptions we draw from our parents are returned in their bitter fruits upon them again, to the wounding of their very hearts, and therefore it pleased him to commend obedience and love to parents in his own example. It was anciently a proverb among the heathen, It is good to be an old man or woman only in Sparta. The ground of it was the strict laws among the Spartans to punish the rebellion and disobedience of children to their aged parents. And shall it not be good to be an old father and mother in this land, where the gospel of Christ is preached, and such an argument as this now set before you urged, an argument which the heathen world never heard. Let all that sustain the relation of children seriously ponder this example of Christ proposed for their imitation, in which we will consider what duties belong to the relation of children and how they are enforced by Christ's example. Roman numeral 1. The duties pertaining to the relation of children. Number 1. Fear and reverence are due from children to their parents by the express command of God. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. Leviticus 19, verse 3. God has clothed parents with his authority. He has entrusted to them the care of the souls and bodies of their children, and he expects that children reverence them, although in respect of outward estate or honor, they be never so much above them. Joseph, the Lord of Egypt, bowed down before his aged father with his face to the earth. Genesis 48, verse 12. Solomon, the most magnificent and glorious king that ever swayed a scepter, when his mother came to speak with him for Adonijah, rose up to meet her, bowed himself to her, and set her upon his right hand. 2 Kings 2:19. Number 2. Dear and tender love is due from children to their parents, and to show how strong and dear that love ought to be, it is joined with the love you have for your own lives, as it appears in the injunction to deny both for Christ's sake. Matthew 10:37. The bonds of nature are strong and direct between parents and children. Oh, the care, the cost, the pity, the tenderness, the pains, the fears they have expressed for you. It is worse than heathenish ingratitude not to return love for love. This filial love is not only in itself a duty, but should be the root or spring of all your duties to them. Number 3. Obedience is due them by the Lord's strict and special command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Filial obedience is not only founded upon the positive law of God, but also upon the law of nature. This is right, says the apostle, that is, right both according to natural and positive law. However, this subjection and obedience is not absolute and universal. God has not divested himself of his own authority to clothe a parent with it. Your obedience to them must be in the Lord, that is, in things consonant to that divine and holy will to which they, as well as you, must be subject. Yea, even the wickedness of a parent exempts not from obedience where his command is proper. Nor, on the other hand, must the holiness of a parent sway you where his commands and God's are opposite. Yield yourselves, therefore, cheerfully to obey all which they lawfully enjoin, and take heed that the sin fixed on heathen who know not God be not found upon you. Disobedience to parents. Romans 1, verse 30. Remember, your disobedience to their just commands rises much higher than an affront to their personal authority. It is disobedience to God himself who commands second and strengthens theirs upon you. Number 4. Submission to their discipline and rebukes is also your duty. We had fathers of our own flesh that corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Parents ought not to abuse their authority. Cruelty in them is a great sin. Wrath and rebellion in a child against his parents is monstrous. Two considerations should not fail to bring children into a submissive frame, especially to godly parents. Their aim is to save your souls from hell. They judge it better for you to hear the voice of their anger than the terrible voice of the wrath of God. And when they rebuke and chasten, it is with grief in their hearts and tears in their eyes. It is no delight to them to cross, vex, or afflict you. But for their duty to God and tender love to your souls, they would neither rebuke nor chasten. And when they do, how do they afflict themselves in afflicting you? Number 5. Faithfulness to all their interests is due to them by the natural and positive law of God. As far as in you lies, you are bound to promote, not to waste and scatter their substance, to assist, not defraud them. Whoso robbeth his father or mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Proverbs 28:24. To dispose of their goods, much more of yourselves, without their consent, is ordinarily the greatest injustice to them. Number 6. And more especially, the requital of all their love, care, and pains for you is your duty, so far as God enables you. Let them learn to show piety at home and requite their parents. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. It is a saying frequent among the Jews, a child should rather labor at the mill than suffer his parents to want. And to the same effect is that other saying, your parents must be supplied by you if you have it. If not, you ought to beg for them rather than see them perish. It was both the comfort and honor of Joseph that God made him an instrument of so much succor and comfort to his aged father and distressed family. Genesis 47, verse 13. And you are also to know that what you do for them is not alms or charity, it is but requiting them, which is justice, not charity. And it can never be a full requital. Indeed, the Apostle tells us, 2 Corinthians 12, 14, that parents lay up for their children, and not children for their parents, and so they ought. But surely if providence impoverish them and bless you, an honorable maintenance is their due. Even Christ himself took care for his mother. Roman numeral 2. Consider how the example of our Lord, who was so subject to them in his life, Luke 2:51, and so careful to provide at his death, enforces all those duties upon children, especially upon gracious children. Number 1. His example in this has the force and power of law, yea, a law of love, or a law lovingly constraining you to an imitation of him. If Christ himself condescends to be your pattern, if God is pleased to take relations like yours and go before you in the discharge of relative duties, oh, how are you obliged to imitate him and tread in all his footsteps? This was by him intended as a pattern to facilitate and direct your duties. Number 2. He will call you to account in judgment how you have answered the pattern of obedience and tender care he set before you in the days of his flesh. What will the disobedient plead in that day? He that heard the groans of an afflicted father or mother will now come to reckon with the disobedient child for them, and the glorious example of Christ's own obedience and his tenderness to his relations will in that day condemn and aggravate, silence and shame such wretched children as shall stand guilty before his bar. Inference number 1. Has Jesus Christ given such a pattern of obedience and tenderness to parents? Then there can be nothing of Christ in stubborn, rebellious children. The children of disobedience cannot be the children of God. If divine providence directs this to the hands of any that are so, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that the Lord will manifest to them their sinfulness while they consider the following inquiries. Have you not been guilty of slighting your parents by irreverent words or conduct? To such I commend the consideration of Proverbs 30, verse 17, which methinks should be to them as the handwriting that appeared upon the wall to Belshazzar. The eye that mocketh at his father, and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and young eagles shall eat it. That is, they shall be brought to an untimely end, and the birds of the air shall eat that eye, that, but for the parent it despised, had never seen the light. It may be you are vigorous and young, they decayed and wrinkled with age, but saith the Holy Ghost, despise not thy mother when she is old. Proverbs 23:22. It may be you are rich, they poor. Own and honor them in their poverty, and despise them not. God will requite it with his hand, if you do. Have you not been disobedient to the commands of parents? A son of Belial is a child of wrath, if God give not repentance to life. Is not this the awful brand set upon the heathen? Romans 1:30. Woe to him that makes a father or mother complain, as the tree in the fable, that they are cleft asunder with the wedges that are cut out of their own bodies. Have you not risen up rebelliously against and hated your parents for chastening you, that they might save your soul from hell? What is this but to resist an ordinance of God for your good, and in rebelling against them to rebel against the Lord? Well, if they do not, God will take the rod into his own hand, and him you shall not resist. Have you not been unjust to your parents and defrauded them? First helped to make them poor, and then despised them because they were poor? Oh, horrid wickedness! What a complicated evil is this! Thou art, in the language of Scripture, a companion with the destroyers. Proverbs 28:24. This is the worst of theft in God's account. Are you not, or have you not been ungrateful to parents, leaving them to shift for themselves in those straits into which you have helped bring them? Oh, consider it, children, this is an evil which God will surely avenge, except ye repent. What? To be hardened against thine own flesh, to be cruel to thine own parents, that with so much tenderness fed thee, when else thou hadst perished. If any one of my readers be guilty of these evils, to humble you for them and reclaim you from them, I desire that these few considerations may be laid to heart. The effects of your obedience or disobedience will remain upon you and yours to many generations. If you be obedient children in the Lord, both you and yours may reap the fruits of your obedience in multitudes of sweet mercies for many generations. So runs the promise, honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians 6:2-3. You know what an eye of favor God cast upon the Rechabites for this. Jeremiah 35:8-19. And as his blessings are, by promise, entailed on the obedient, so is his curse upon the disobedient. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 20:20. That is, the lamp of his life shall be quenched by death, yea, say others, and his soul also, by the blackness of darkness in hell. Though other sins do, this sin seldom escapes exemplary punishment, even in this world. Heathens will rise up in judgment against you and condemn you. They never had such precepts or examples as you, and yet some of them would rather have chosen death than done as you do. But why speak I of heathens? The stork in the heavens, yea, the beasts of the earth, condemn the disobedience of children. These are sins inconsistent with the true fear of God, in whomsoever they are found. A man is indeed what he is in his family. He that is a bad child can never be a good Christian. Either bring testimonies of your godliness from your relatives, or it may be well suspected to be no better than counterfeit. Never talk of your obedience to God while your disobedience to the just commands of your parents gives you the lie. A parting time is coming when death will break up the family, and when that time comes, oh, how bitter will the remembrance of these things be! Surely this will be more insupportable to you than their death, if the Lord open your eyes and give you repentance. Number 2. Have you such a pattern of obedience and tender love to parents? Then, children, imitate your pattern as it becomes Christians, and take Christ for your example. Whatsoever your parents be, see that your conduct towards them is such as becomes your profession of Christ. If your parents are godly, oh, beware of grieving them by any unbecoming conduct. Art thou a Christian indeed? Thou wilt then reckon thyself obliged to them in a double bond, both of grace and nature. Oh, what a mercy would some children esteem it if they had parents fearing the Lord, as you have. If they be carnal, walk circumspectly, in the most careful and punctual discharge of your duties. For how knowest thou, O child, but hereby thou mayest win thy parents? Wouldst thou but humbly and seriously entreat and persuade them to mind the ways of holiness, speaking to them at fit seasons, with all humility and reverence, expressing your wishes by relating some pertinent history, or proposing some excellent example, leaving their own conscience to draw the conclusion and make the application, it is possible they might ponder your words in their hearts, as Mary did Christ's. Luke 2:49-51. And would you but add to all this your own earnest cries to heaven for them, and your own daily example, that they might have nothing to complain of you, and thus wait with patience for the desired effect, oh, what a blessed instrument might you be of their everlasting good. Number 3. Let those who have children that fear the Lord and endeavor to imitate Christ in these duties account them a singular treasure and heritage from them, and give them all due encouragement. How many have no children, and how many have such as are the very reproach and heartbreaking of their parents, bringing down their hoary heads with sorrow to the grave. If God have given you the blessing of godly children, You can never be sufficiently thankful for such a favor. Oh, that ever God should honor you to train up your children for heaven. What a comfort must it be to you, whatever troubles you meet with abroad, when you come home among godly children that are careful to sweeten your life by their obedience. Especially what a comfort is it, when you come to die, that you leave them allied to Christ, and so need not be anxious how it shall be with them when you are gone. Take heed of discouraging such children, from whom so much glory may arise to God, and so much comfort to yourselves. Thus let Christ's pattern be improved, who by such eminent holiness in all his relations left you an example that you should follow in his footsteps.